Good morning. In Acts chapter 3, after Peter and John had been a part of healing of a lame man, several people, many, ran into the porch, Solomon's porch, and heard Peter preach that day. This is not Solomon's porch, and I'm not Peter, but this is the best we can do. I've been paying attention for some time about the songs that we sing, and particularly the date in which they were written. And I think we're singing songs now that if we appreciate when they were written, we experience the sentiment of the writers. I'll Live in Glory, written in 1936, while this country was going through a depression. And then very interesting to me, I just noticed this morning, This World Is Not My Home. Credit is given to Davis. Apparently an early title of the song was Joyful Meeting in Glory, 1919. When this country and the world was going through the Spanish flu pandemic. So again, these are songs that we sing at times like this that remind us that there are glorious and much greater things to come. I don't think we can fathom the depths of the human heart, the mind that God has created us with. It's fascinating to think about, to consider. I believe our minds are much more than just the gray matter that's in our heads. It's heart, soul, spirit. It's the inner man that the New Testament talks about a good bit. And thinking about our hearts and our minds, we're reminded in Scripture that we need to think about what we think about. God tells us to think on these things, certain things. We have a conscience, unlike the rest of creation, the animal world, the ability to examine ourselves and to think about what we actually do think about and what we do. We make choices about what we allow into our minds, what we watch, read, and hear. A warning that I have had for myself and others during these times, and that is we're very careful that we're not filling our time with a whole lot more of watching and reading and listening to things that are not going to be helpful to us, even the volume of things. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life, the proverb writer said. Guard our hearts. Our minds that God has given us ought to be treated very carefully and treated in a very special way. As he thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And that's even talking about an evil-eyed man, a man who's deceptive, that as he thinks in his heart, that's what he is. And so the principle is still true. As we think, that's who we will be. And Jesus connects sin to our hearts. Sin comes from within. Mark chapter 7, 21 through 28. Out of the heart proceed sinful things. So as I was thinking about this lesson today, there's so many directions we can go in a study of the biblical heart. Maybe in the past few weeks, we have found ourselves having more time to think than maybe otherwise. But what I want to do today is thinking about the ability God has given us and the need to be reminded and to actually be thankful for our ability to be reminded. We can debate the reasons we forget, why we don't remember like we used to, why the recall is slower. I think there's any question the gray matter itself begins to wear out. The influence of chemicals and drugs, and I don't mean even illicit drugs, but those things have been shown to affect our thinking. And then sometimes I have come to believe that in our day and time, too much information makes it more difficult to remember than it used to be. Someone has said you can watch 5 hours of television and social media and the news and then read 30 minutes a day of the Bible and wonder why we can't remember the scriptures because there's so much other information coming in. We have to make some decisions about that. But back to the idea that God evidently recognizes whatever the cause, whatever the reason, that we're going to have to be reminded, and we can be thankful that we can be. I'll tell you what got me thinking about this earlier this week. Betsy remarked about a cardinal. It was on our bird feeder. She said, I believe it's the reddest cardinal I have ever seen. It reminded me of what my grandmother, who lived to be 99, used to say. By the way, before I get in trouble, I'm not comparing Betsy and my grandmother's age by any means. But she would say in the fall, I believe the trees are the prettiest that I have ever seen. And she would say that almost every fall. It was the same thing in the spring. The red buds and the dogwoods would be as pretty as she could ever remember them being. And I think it's just a matter that we do forget. The images in our minds begin to fade until they're renewed again. So that's one thing we can enjoy. And I think we do. We're made to enjoy. We're made to enjoy the spring. It's been a beautiful spring, and the red buds and dogwoods have in fact been very, very pretty. It's been nice to be able to take a drive out in the country, maybe on the Trace and other areas, and appreciate what God has created. And we do see it, and we think how beautiful these things are. And we can be reminded of good, pleasant things. How many of you the last few weeks have been taking time to go through some old pictures? Maybe cleaning out an old some things in a closet, cleaning out an attic, finding some old boxes, and then you don't get much done because you sit and you look through the boxes and all the things in the boxes, things you saved from your kids' lives and your own earlier lives, and things that have been given to us. And again, the pictures that we find. The memorabilia, the memorials, the memories. Those are blessed things, good things. We forget about them. When we see them, it conjures up some good feelings, and that's a blessing. But our ability to remember is a blessing and a curse at times, because we do remember some things that are not so pleasant to think about. Painful memories. Even some times of sinful things that we've done in our past. We know we've been forgiven, we don't have to dwell on it, but regret can come into our hearts, which can be good for us. We can be humbled by those thoughts. Keeps us grounded, helps us not become high-minded, but rather think about ourselves in the way that we ought to think. Again, we don't have to dwell on those things. We can choose about to think about other things, things like forgiveness, mercy, grace, hope, love, and faith. I want to go back to the Old Testament and go through a few things for just a moment that God called Israel to remember. He knew they needed some things, some memorials to remind them of the great things he had done. The Passover was given to the Jews to remind them that they had been brought out of Egyptian bondage where their forefathers had cried out to God for help, and he remembered them. In Deuteronomy 16, it says, and you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. It says that four or five times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses does in his last speech to his people. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. And that was a reference to the Feast of the Weeks, the 7 weeks after the Passover. And so they would still continue to be reminded that we were slaves, we're in bondage, and God stepped in by his mercy, grace, and power, redeemed us and brought us out and took us home to the promised land. In Exodus 20 and verse 8, in the law, the people were reminded, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In Numbers, we're told a story that the people of God were to put a tassel on their garments. And in that tassel was to be a blue thread entwined in it. And when they looked at the tassel with the blue thread, they were to remember, as Numbers tells us, remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And what I noticed is that that immediately follows the story of a man who went out on the Sabbath day to gather sticks. And when he did that, the judgment of God was that he was to be put to death for disobeying God. God got the attention of his people. And he left them a reminder. Hey, listen to me. He knows what's best. His commandments were for their good. And they needed to rest on the Sabbath day as he had commanded. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7, remember the days of old. David, in one of his psalms, in Psalm 143, he was asking the Lord for help in a very, very distressing time, whatever that may have been. He had several in his life. But he says in that psalm, I remember the days of old. I meditate on your works. I muse on the work of your hands. As a side note, I wonder sometimes if I don't get, and I hear other preachers say the same thing two or three different ways, right one right after the other. I think we've learned that from that's the way God has spoken to his people. Remember, meditate, muse. And David said, when I'm in a time of distress, I go back and I think about you, Lord, and the good things you have done for me. And he remembers that he's there and will listen to him. Good thing for us to do in these times. And then in Malachi, at the very last book of the Bible, Old Testament, and very near the end of that book, in Malachi 4 and verse 4, remember the law of Moses. That God's people were always being called back, drawn back. Please remember what I've taught you. Well, let's then come to the New Testament, where God calls spiritual Israel to be reminded. He calls us to be reminded. And I think you'll be fascinated by the number of times that various writers in the New Testament told their hearers they were reminding them of things they already knew. A wise man once by simply saying that people need to be reminded more often than they need to be instructed. And I think that's true. Preaching, D. Bowman said once, is motivating people to do what they already know they should be doing. Hear these statements, excuse me. When the women came to the tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus and anoint his body with oil and spices, an angel said, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered up and would rise again on the third day. And it says in verse 8 in Luke 24, and they remembered his words. The Apostle Paul was talking to the elders from Ephesus, perhaps for the last time. He said, I have shown you in Acts 20 and verse 35, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Reminding them. Paul to the Thessalonians, who had apparently been listening to some teaching either by letter or others had come in person, were telling them things concerning the coming of Jesus. And Paul writes back to them in the second letter especially. He said some things in the first letter as well. To remind them, he says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So, those passages and some others here I'm going to read remind us we need to be reminded. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Even that young preacher needed to remember. If his faith was ever shaken, he needed to be reminded. The story is true. Build your faith on these facts. 2 Timothy 2:14, to Timothy in his preaching, remind them of these things. Preachers get accused sometimes of getting on a hobby, and that can be a problem, preaching about the same thing every week. We shouldn't do that. And there are others that have been concerned about how often we repeat ourselves, say the same thing in the very same sermon. And I understand that we need to be careful about that too. But at the end of the day, we are clearly told as gospel preachers that one of our roles is to be reminding our audiences of things that we have already been taught. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit to the ruin of the hearers. In Titus 3 and verse 1, Titus on the island of Crete, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, Peter said, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And then later on in the third chapter, he said, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which, taking in the first one, I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. It's fascinating to think in that passage that the very best of minds, the very purest of minds, the very single-minded minds that we may have still need to be reminded. Well, in the next few moments together, I want to ask the question, what do you think we need to specifically be reminded of in this day and time, in these times of ours? Well, here's something that's helpful. Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter to an audience that was being greatly troubled. They were suffering in some way, whatever that was, probably persecution. And if it was written to Jewish Christians, it was written to those that had been dispersed, suffering at the hands of their own countrymen, but also very likely suffering from the beginnings of Roman persecution against God's people. And so these letters are written. They're living in difficult times, probably more difficult than our own. But the lessons are still valuable for us. What did Peter remind his readers? And I've just picked out some things. I could take the time to read 1 and 2 Peter today, and that would be a good thing to do. But here are some things that I think are helpful to be reminded of in our difficult times. Peter said, beginning in 2 Peter 1, He has given us all things God has that pertain to life and godliness. We have everything we need to live this life the way God wants us to live. And we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Maybe these are times that remind us how blessed we are to have the greatest spiritual blessings that can be given, given all spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. And those are things that we are learning to be thankful for. God's love and goodness, may I say to us, are never determined by our physical circumstances. I still get a little concerned when things go well in this world for us and a loved one has gotten well and we praise God and we ought to. We've asked Him and He has said yes on that occasion. But someone says, God is so good. Please understand that God's goodness is not determined by whether or not our loved ones get well or not. If our loved ones are Christians, faithful to Jesus Christ, and they die during this pandemic, they are in a place that couldn't be any more good. In a relationship that cannot be any better and be any more blessed than we can even think about. We have been redeemed, 1 Peter 1. We've obtained mercy, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. What remarkable blessings. Maybe at this time our minds are being reminded of these good things. We have a living hope, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. A living hope, alive and well. It's reserved in heaven for us. A reservation that cannot be canceled by anything or anyone else. We know during this time that Peter said to the people, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Spiritual growth is necessary in all of our circumstances. And we believe that perhaps circumstances like this can help precipitate our thinking about growing spiritually. Peter ends his last letter, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're reminded in these times that the world and everything in it will eventually be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3. The things of this world, all the things of this world are temporary. And we just sang a marvelous song to remind us of that today. We're sojourners and pilgrims here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. I'm reminded of 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, no matter the times in which we live. And the debate goes on about, and I've talked about it a little bit with you, about these times and understanding the possibility of a judgment from God and eventually laying aside trying to know all of that for sure and believing that these kinds of times are times in which men's hearts can be turned to greater eternal things. Why God has not ended it before now, some people would wonder. And we're told the reason he's not is because he's not willing that any should perish. The tragedy of these days are not that people are dying, but that they're dying lost because they did not believe and obey the Lord. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. At least that's the beginning of our relationship with Jesus. 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism has a part in our salvation. Also, this is a time in which our faith will be tested, and we're reminded that it will not always be easy. And again, I think that's why Peter wrote these two letters. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, 3, 17, 4, 12 through 18, 5 and verse 10 are reminders that we're going to suffer, we're going to have some difficulties. There's a roaring lion who goes about and he doesn't sleep at the night, during the night, seeking whom he may devour. It's interesting, in the midst of all of that, they were going through, there's an entire chapter in 2 Peter given to the warning about false teachers. And I wonder if that's a danger in days like this. I don't know if more people, I know more and more of us are preaching and teaching on Facebook. But so are all the others doing that too. Boy, I'm glad that didn't go any further. I think I would have remembered my last note, my last thought. But how many people are getting a chance to teach by the airways, using Facebook, using YouTube, using those means of teaching people when in fact are teaching false doctrine? It's a danger. People are susceptible when they're troubled and they're willing to listen to anything that might give them hope. What if they're listening to a false teacher? We pray and hope that people's hearts will be turned to read the Bible, read the text, read the scriptures, read what God has said so they can actually know the truth. Test what they hear. Listen, but then test it. Examine the scriptures. And what I would urge you to do is that later this week, sit down and read 1 and 2 Peter and see whether or not the things I've said today are so. I'm reminded two more things. I'm reminded that God desires obedience even in the most difficult of times. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, Peter reminded them to be submissive as citizens. And may I remind you, he was calling upon them to be subject to Rome, who at that time was being ruled by an emperor by the name of Nero. Be subject to the rulers, the governors, the powers that be. Be subject at work, even when your boss is not what he ought to be and what you'd hope he would be. Be subject in home. He comments about a woman being married to an unbelieving husband and her being submissive. That's turned around, by the way, in verse 7, talking about the way a husband treats his wife, treating her with honor and respect. Submission in the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Our leadership, our elders, and even all of us submitting to one another, looking for ways to help each other. So that God hasn't given us time off. He hasn't said, I'm sorry times are tough. Yes, I know they are. But show the world that you love me so much that you're willing to do sometimes even the hardest of things. The old man, the lust of the flesh, needs to still be put away. 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 4. I may do a lesson on this, I may not, but sadly I have seen the sale of alcohol has spiked during these times. And that people are turning to that to get them through the challenging times in which they find themselves living. Instead of turning to the Lord, turning to worldly things that only appease our hearts for a little while, and then we realize they don't last. The old man, the lust of the flesh. Don't turn to the lust of the flesh to get us through. Turn to God. Character is still important. Compassion, love, being tender-hearted, courteous, returning good for evil. 1 Peter chapter 3. You see how all that works? God is saying to us in the midst of difficult times, you can still be what I want you to be. And here's the blessing. He gives us time to be reminded. And I hope today has given us a little bit of time to be reminded. One more thing. In Peter's day, people were teaching things weren't true. Obviously, 2 Peter 2. He said, I want to assure you all of something, that what I'm telling you is not a myth. It's not a fable. This is not something I've made up or anybody's made up. And you read this in 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. He said, the word of God has been made more sure. We have an absolute promise in unsure times that we can be sure that God has spoken. He's given us his will revealed in scripture, and we can know his will. What a blessing. Thank you for listening today. Appreciate you being here. May you have some folks that have stopped in to visit with us today. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Well, now what are we going to do? We're going to remember. We're going to take the time to remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary.